Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am James Anderson. We are brought to you by WinBet, as always, and I'm happy to be joined by my good friend Chris Welsh, who's out there in Arizona. We will be previewing the Arizona Fall League, which will be getting underway tomorrow, Wednesday, and hopefully this will just serve as a great way to kind of give everyone who's going out there for the First Pitch Arizona Conference an idea of who they're going to be seeing and stuff like that. Obviously, prospect junkies know about these guys, but Welsh is out there. I mean, it's going to be a fun episode. I know you've been seeing guys playing already, just kind of working on things. Dustin Harris possibly was someone you saw last night. So how are things going, man? What have you been up to?
James, what's up, buddy? Yeah, I've been hitting Instrux. Instrux is out here. Not all accessible, but the Rangers have been particularly accessible. And yeah, man, I've been soaking in baseball. Weather's getting perfect. I can rock a hoodie in Arizona for a couple days, and then it'll get hot again. But mostly I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss that you won't be out here. The one interesting thing with the first pitch conference is usually it's like later into fall. So I'll usually get a good month head start on everybody, you know, to share all the stuff and get all the love and the accolades and everything. But everybody will be out here day one. We'll all be kind of doing that for a couple days. But I'm excited to get at it, man. The Fall League guys are starting to roll in. Like, here's an interesting note for you. I was over at the Rangers yesterday and was seeing, you know, George Valera, Brian Rocchio, Dustin Harris, like you said, and the Fall League guys, surprise, has a team, and they're training over there, and some of the guys are looming around, and Sam Huff was there, and it was announced. So this is the type of stuff to start to think about what happens in the Fall League. One of the first positional announcements we got was that Sam Huff was listed as a catcher, but will not catch in the Fall League. And a lot of people started to kind of run with that, like, oh, you know, because I don't actually think he's a catcher from seeing him multiple times. I mean, it hasn't worked. So they said he's not going to play catcher. So I think everybody read into that. Well, yesterday I'm down there and he was like, after practice, a Fall League practice, he went over to the Rangers side and he worked for a half an hour on catching drills with the coaches on a side field right next to the main stadium, right next to the main complex field. And it's one of those things you realize, like, oh yeah, there are some teams that do not want their players doing certain things in the Fall League. And the Rangers specifically probably don't want other coaches in their head about catching. They want to control it. So he will not catch with whatever coaches the surprise team has, but he's over on the side field exclusively working on catching drills for like over a half an hour. So just a bunch of interesting notes you get at Instrux that I can attach to the Fall League. And I'm just trying to share with everybody.
Yeah, man, you're the best at it. It's great having you out there. You're my eyes and ears for everything that's happening in Arizona. The way I wanted to do this pod was basically kind of laying out expectations for the noteworthy prospects that are out here, because of course, smart. You know, there's a lot of big names, you know, there's a lot of guys that people have heard of. And I just want to make sure everyone is sort of going in expecting kind of what they should expect with some of these players, because I mean, we're going to get to this a little bit later, but I honestly think that a lot of players were sent here as a really strong test, and a test that they probably aren't going to pass necessarily. And only, you know, there's plenty of guys who are going to have good fall leagues, and some of the guys are going to even surprise and have better fall leagues than I'm expecting. But I wanted to start like with just the hitters who I think are primed to have really strong Arizona fall leagues, whether it be just based on skill or advancement. I mean, these guys, the guys we're going to talk about, are mostly guys who've gotten to AAA already. And so you have guys that are getting assigned to the fall league from high A, maybe guys who didn't even have success at high A are going to the fall league. But then you also have these guys, the three that we're going to talk about first, who made it up to AAA and had success at AAA and are top, you know, 25-ish prospects. And
you know, let me throw in with you as well, because it's interesting what you're bringing up, and it's important to manage expectations with the Arizona Fall League, because the Fall League can do lots of stuff. And, you know, you're going to have like a barrage of prospect and baseball people that are going to be here for the next 3 days, and you are going to get some instant wild reactions, because the Fall League early on, first I can tell you, it just is not good pitching. There's not good pitching here. There's like one team that's got a decent staff. It's older pitching, a lot of relief pitching. I think it's going to get hit up pretty decently unless some of the young guys get taken care of. So I think you're going to get a lot of overreactions. But the important thing, and you know this as well, is like, there are many shades of gray with the Fall League, because there are players that had horrible years that came in and really turned their prospect status around. Royce Lewis did that, then unfortunately got hurt. There are guys that struggle and really are true strugglers, like Forrest Whitley. You know, Forrest Whitley gave us signs because he was in the Fall League for multiple years. And then, but there's also the guys that, you know, sometimes you get a few skill sets that work really well to the Fall League on a talent that we're not 100% sure about, and then we go in on. Like Jared Oliva was an example, like physically very exciting, smart guy, can run, he could hit balls in BP, and it just never worked, but he killed it out here in the Fall League. So you're going to get a lot of those type of guys. It's a hitter-friendly place. You're going to see a lot of high performances. You need to know how to put it in check. But also, if you see some struggles, it's not the end of the world. I remember the first time I ever covered the Fall League, like really, was in 2016. And Alex Verdugo was out here. And like Verdugo had some like, there's some like personality quirk thing that happened. He had the worst Fall League out here. He hit like 108 and he got sent home. And I was like, boy, you know, this is my first run into it. I'm like, this Alex Verdugo kid, I got to get off it. And look at him now. You know, Alex Verdugo is absolutely legit. So managing expectations and knowing how to like interpret what happens here is super, super important. I just wanted to add that to you.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan India is a guy that I was basically came off of because of how bad he looked in the Fall League a couple of years ago. So the three hitters I wanted to talk about first, Spencer Torkelson, Tristan Casas, and Nolan Gorman, top 25 prospects, top 30, but probably top 25 prospects, all guys that made it to AAA, all infielders. I mean, do you see one of these guys as being primed to maybe be the Fall League MVP or something close to that? Is there someone else that you would throw into this mix? Because that, to me, these three hitters, like if I'm just kind of doing a fantasy draft of who's going to perform the best in the Arizona Fall League, I think these three would be my first three picks on the hitting side.
I agree. I actually did. I you know, it's funny. I was actually going to hit you up about us doing like, because, you know, you won't be there and there won't be a Paul Stars. Our boy Paul Spohr won't be able to do his Paul Stars roster, that we should be doing like a best ball draft. And I ended up doing one with my Patreon people. I agree, though. I would have added one person in, is I think Riley Green would have been potentially the MVP of this league had he not been sent home. If people saw, he was here, he was going to be here, but he suffered a concussion on the second and it took him out. And this is like a classic Fall League thing. It happens every single year. There's like this incredible prospect that ends up getting scratched. Last 2019, it was Dylan Carlson. And year before that, it was Sixto Sanchez. And it always happens. But I would have said Riley Green, because Riley Green was such a good doubles contact hitter. And Salt River Fields is just a really hitter-friendly park. You know, it's got that big green backdrop and hitters. I mean, I always think of David Bodie, who is actually doing pretty well. I was on the field with David Bodie. He was just crushing homers, and me and him watched a homer of his on that I had filmed. And it was just like, this is a place that people really built into really solid contact. So I would come back to that saying that, you know, it would have been Riley Green, but I got to go the cheap shot with Spencer Torkelson. I think Spencer, this is his hometown. I think he's going to absolutely dominate here. You know, a lot of these parks are really like pull easy places. Nolan Gorman, I think, in Glendale, it's kind of a shorter little porch over on the pull side that he's going to crush balls probably out of the stadium. I mean, you know, 390, 400 is probably going to get it out of there. I think Gorman's going to do well. I mean, I think you picked a fantastic crew of players. Casas is going to be in Scottsdale, which has got a few deeper holes, but I think Torque is going to absolutely dominate here. Salt River, like I said, the most hitter-friendly spot of any of these, especially from a batter's eye perspective. I think he's going to dominate, and he's just going to not like get too far into himself. He's not going to get crazy fooled. You're going to have some pitchers that are working on stuff. Yeah, I mean, Torque would be my number one pick had I had the number one pick.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, I do kind of want to say on these three guys, there's, like you said, man, there's going to be just so much hype, especially with the first pitch conference. Like, there's going to be a game where 10 guys are there with like their camera and their Twitter and everything, and like somebody is gonna just hit a moonshot. Everyone's gonna go crazy, everyone's gonna post it, everyone's gonna start freaking out. And I really kind of want to say with those three guys, like, I'm expecting them to have strong showings. So like, if Spencer Torkelson goes and hits like 320, 420, 560 in the AFL, that doesn't mean that now he's like better than Bobby Witt. To me, like, that just means he kind of did what he was supposed to do, is basically what I want to say.
100%. I might be a little worried if he continued those like first early struggles again. I wouldn't love that.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, because he like struggled in spring training, struggled at the beginning of the minor league season. I'd love to see him not struggle again, but I totally agree. Like, to be honest with you, him hitting 400 isn't going to do much for me. It's like, hey, guess what? One of the best prospects in baseball is destroying these leagues. I do think the MVP of this league might not be on this list, though, as well, because not that all these guys can't hit for high average, but we've seen the MVPs of these leagues have actually been kind of the kind of like twitchier, hard contact middle infield, like Royce Lewis, Keston Hira, those type of like high contact guys. So I actually think like Nick Gonzalez or something like that is someone that could end up being one of the guys.
Let's get to, so I have some long shots. I listed these guys as long shots for best hitter. And the reason I didn't have a twitchier guy in that top three is because I just don't think there is a guy who's as advanced as those three who I think is ready to have like a big time showing. Nick Gonzalez was the first guy I listed though as a long shot. The reason why I think he's a long shot, and I'll even kind of group Joey Weimer and Curtis Mead in here as well, because these are three guys who did not get to the upper levels this year but had big time success at high A. And yeah, Gonzalez and Weimer, like, especially just the way they finished the year, like, I mean, you couldn't have been hotter than those two guys. But as we've seen many times, I mean, the jump from high A to double A is huge. Those guys haven't made that jump yet. The jump from double A to triple A isn't as big. But at least those three guys we touched on first, you know, they've made those progressions. The Fall League is often said to be like a finishing school. For the first three guys we talked about, it is going to be a finishing school. We're going to see them in the majors next year. For Nick Gonzalez, he's over a year away. So that's why I put him in a long shot, though he does have the skill to absolutely go on a tear.
Yeah, it's a really good point, too. You know, and I kind of glossed over Casas. Here's what's interesting about Casas, just to come back to that, and then I'll come back to Gonzalez. Casas actually might be a front runner if you really think about it logically. He's probably the best combo of those three guys, of the top guys. Like, Torque has got this just incredible power, really good pull heavy, doesn't like to get fooled. Gorman, I think, is a little bit more open swing. He's got ridiculous raw power, but I could see him hitting 250 here, or, you know, half the time hitting 200. But Costas is one of those guys, like, he's just not going to get beat. He's a high average guy, rocket power. He can play multiple positions. He actually might be like an MVP candidate as well, because the key is hitting for high average in the AFL. It's not just homers, because Greg Dykeman, who's now with the Cubs, he had like 10 homers when he was hit. Like, at the Fall Stars break, he had like 9 homers at that time, and he wasn't being considered. It's a really good point on like Weimer and Gonzalez and Mead, because they're far off, and you do get the finishing element of it. Again, think of the MVPs that have been in this league. I think it was like Gleyber Torres, and you've had Roy. Actually, it's typically been middle infielders, but Royce Lewis and Keston, they've all been pretty close where you're right, Nick and them are not. Nick has a chance, which I'll be really interested to see because I've seen a decent amount of him. He's got the, like, Gonzalez is the one I think all of the prospect guys here, everyone could lose their mind about that haven't watched Nick Gonzalez, right? Because his bat speed, everyone, what, like, if you don't like the word bat speed, mute it in Twitter immediately, because I think when people see Nick Gonzalez and they see the bat speed, and if he gets a hold of something early, you're going to see people put Nick Gonzalez top 10 overall.
There's going to be a lot of mic drop, like, he's in the top 15, like, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, guess what? Top 10. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And he's got big power, and I think he'll play some more second base. But Nick can also get really fooled by, like, high fastball stuff, and if he can't catch up on the bat speed. So I actually think he could get taken advantage of. But yeah, all those guys, you're right. Like, they're just not finished enough that I do think they are bigger long shots than one name that you do have on this list.
And then, like, with those three, like Gonzalez, Weimer, and Mead, if any of those three go out there and struggle and, say, strike out too much, which
could, especially Weimer.
Yeah, I mean, just don't freak out. Like, I think I don't expect those guys to really struggle, just because of how strong they all finished the year. But it shouldn't just be like, whoa, why didn't Nick Gonzalez like hit for higher average in the fall league? You know, because, I mean, he didn't even play at double A this year.
Yeah, there's almost like lines you've got to take with these type of things. It's like if a guy in 80 at bats hits like 240 or something, like, don't freak out. Like, don't freak out. But, you know, if they hit like a buck 90, like, it's a little concerning if they're striking out or something like that because the pitching's so bad. But hey, it's also, it's older pitching that's here. That's the other weird thing. It's older, more advanced pitching than I think I've recalled, though there's no star power. Doesn't mean these guys could get taken advantage of a little bit early on.
And so these next two names that you alluded to that I have in this long shot for best hitter candidates are more advanced, are less sexy, I think, for fantasy. Bryson totally. Stott, a first-round pick for the Phillies. Juan Yepez, a guy that you've been on for a while in the Cardinals system. You know, Stott has a very clear path to playing time in the near future. He probably debuts next season, but does he have the loudest tools? You know, we'll see. I mean, maybe it's just a hit tool, power comes, that type of thing. With Yepez, you have the problem of where does this guy profile defensively? If he has to play DH when the DH comes to the National League, can he hit enough to profile at DH? What are your thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, well, Stott's the one I was alluding to. I think Stott could really, really bomb out here. And he's a guy that people could fall in love with. He hit 299 this past season, was a double-digit homer stolen base guy. They could move him around. Here's another thing that I think could happen based on what was their roster? I need to go back to it and find it. This is a Peoria one. I was taking a look at their roster, and and this is just me guessing, by the way. There's no guarantee that's going to happen, but this roster stacked. It's got Nick Gonzalez. We haven't even talked about CJ Abrams, Jiwon Bae. They've got Iggy Rosario, Luke Waddell. They've got a bunch of these middle infield guys. They don't have lockdown third baseman on this team, and I think you could see Stott playing some third base over there, and the position eligibility would be good. I think his bat is primed for this place. He may not hit a bunch of homers, but I think Stott could be like a 390 hitter here with three or four homers, two or three stolen bases, hitting the middle of the lineup. He's a guy that I think could really, really hit here because he is more of an advanced hitter. He's older, more advanced hitter, not going to be getting fooled too much and adding position eligibility. I feel like he's a guy that people could fall in love with. So he would be probably actually my favorite long shot in your list of long shots. I would say Stott and then Gonzalez.
And if you look at the Phillies depth chart, I mean, you get the DH coming next year. So that'll be where Rhys Hoskins plays. Alec Bohm, I mean, he probably gets another shot and he'll move over to first base. So that third base slot could be wide open for Stott.
Wouldn't it be great if I could, like, I mean, I don't think I'll be doing any interviewing this round, unfortunately, of players, but wouldn't it be great if I could get him and he was just like the polar opposite of Bohm when I interviewed Bohm? Like, it was just the most awkward. You were the first person. I think I may have texted you or immediately went to find you after I did my interview in 2019 with Bohm. I'm like, you're going to hate him. Well, going to hate him.
The funny thing about that is he was also, I think he was on like a Sirius XM channel. I don't think it was our show, but he did an interview on there too, where they made us like play a clip coming out of a commercial break, and he sounded exactly like you described. So
yeah, no, I actually that interview was actually made famous a little bit. I can't tell the people, but someone told me about that interview after the fact, where it's like it was a little teeth pulling. So I was just thinking, how funny would it be if Stott just like the complete opposite, or if there's a Phillies thing in there? But yeah, no, I mean Stott is going to be the not sexy, underrated player that people will want to watch out for. And Yepez is just super fascinating. He's got big power. He's got a beautiful swing, pretty good patience that I think if he gets enough playing time, I think he could put up some big... He's one of those guys we could look, put big numbers on. I do worry I could fall too much in love with.
Yeah.
If he dominates here, I don't want to... I want to be patient and not go too nuts.
I have a feeling some people are going to get a little carried away with him just because I do expect him to have success there. It's really set up for him.
Yeah.
He spent the whole year at AAA for the most part and had success. So, I mean, I think he's going to have a good statistical showing at the very least. As you mentioned, I mean, pitching is not the strength of the Fall League.
No.
So,
to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. Now, there are a couple guys that I think are the clear... You know, you want to have, you know, some video of these guys if you're there. You want to maybe try to find these guys starts if you're out there and you can swing it at first pitch Arizona. And that's Rowenzi Contreras and Bobby Miller.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Contreras of the Pirates, Miller of the Dodgers. Now, Contreras, I mean, he showed out. He got a tiny taste of the big leagues at the end of the season. And, I mean, he looked very impressive. I think he's going to be a very trendy guy for redraft next year. Bobby Miller was a guy that I was really worried about in the middle of the season because he was out with an arm injury, but then he came back and was just dominant. So I think like we can kind of put that in the rearview mirror with him. Do you have a favorite out of these two guys in terms of which guy, like who's going to get the most buzz based on their AFL showing this year?
Oh, I think Contreras by a long shot is going to. I personally love Bobby Miller. I have Miller over Contreras, and I've had Miller like inside the top 100 for quite some time. I've just been talking about him from day one. He was the pitcher that people remember, you know, the two broadcasts we got of the alt site during quarantine. One was the Dodgers. I think the Red Sox were doing some broadcasting on YouTube, and then the Dodgers did one, and Bobby Miller pitched, and there I was like, man, fall in love with this kid. Multiple pitches, strike zone presence, gets K's. I just think he's going to do his work here, and he's going to be fantastic. He'll be in his home ballpark too, that he's very, very familiar with at Camelback Ranch. But Contreras to me is the guy to watch. You know, I like for me personally, I really want to get eyes on him because he's kind of got that like short pitcher man thing. Again, I've cited this four gajillion times, but you know, you, me, Eno, 3 years ago, sitting behind home plate watching JP Bukauskas pitch, and I was specifically asking Eno about what the track record is on like 6 foot and under pitchers maintaining as starters. And then, funny enough, Bukauskas is now a clear cut relief pitcher. That Contreras, there was nobody more dominant to start the minor league season this year than Contreras as a pitcher. I don't think he gave up an earned run for like 35 innings or 50. I don't even remember what it was. He was absolutely insane. He's had a little bit of taste of the majors. The Yankees are just developing prospects at a next level, and the Pirates are benefiting from it. And I want to see Contreras. I think he's going to dominate out here. And he's the guy that I think is going to get some nutso buzz, especially if he does find success. And, you know, just really good fastball. You locate the fastball here, you got a lot of – these guys know. There's scouts out here. There's teams. Players know that there's their trade bait potentially. There's 40-man roster implications. Like, guys are out here to turn and burn on pitches. And Contreras, I think, can take advantage of that. So I think he is, like, the clear-cut guy of – fun to watch, want to watch, and success.
All right, and then I have two guys in the long shots for best pitcher, and the first one is a favorite of mine, Landon Knack. He's with the Dodgers as well. I mean, the in my opinion, the Dodgers sent two of the three best current starting pitchers to the AFL.
They should have just sent Beater. I saw Beater at Instructs a couple days ago. He's rocking a nice mustache. Send him and just get the whole crew out there.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Knack, I think Knack is going to be a pretty trendy name after the AFL because, like, I've always sort of thought of him as sort of George Kirby light. in that he was basically the best strike thrower in his draft class, added a little velo when he got into pro ball. Now he's got the pitch mix. He's got the command. Obviously, the Dodgers know what they're doing. They have guys like Beeter who have, you know, maybe better pure stuff. Obviously, Bobby Miller has maybe better pure stuff. Ryan Pepiot, maybe better pure stuff. But I think Landon Knack, he checks all the boxes as a starting pitcher to me. I do not see them moving him into a relief role. So I think if he throws strikes and has success, he'll get a ton of buzz. And then Cole Henry with the Nationals, kind of like Bobby Miller, dealt with an arm injury in the middle of the summer, but then he came back and was basically unhittable over his last like five or six outings. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for when I'm looking at like, well, which pitchers are going to have success in the AFL. There's some other guys that I'm going to touch on later who I do not think are going to have success. Yeah. But based
there's a clear cut name you're not mentioning that we'll talk about. Which
but,
I agree.
But I mean, when a guy is just unhittable down the stretch, obviously they're healthy. Obviously that they've got an idea what they're doing. And that was Cole Henry. So like he, from an experience
that's
standpoint, does not seem ready to maybe come out here and have success. But I think from a how he pitched down the stretch and just pure stuff standpoint, he might be ready.
Yeah, that's kind of the guy I might be second most excited about. Like Bobby Miller is like I think my number one pitcher that is like out here on my ranks. But you know, I haven't had in-person visuals on Contreras or Cole Henry, and I think again Cole Henry, one of those guys, just big fastball curveball combination that's going to come out here, can slice and dice. The thing that gets me worried about any of these guys, I suppose, is if they start to get locked into, and this is why you've got to be careful about these pitchers, is if they start to get locked into working on something. You know, they're changing a delivery, or they're trying to work on a third pitch that they really want to be dominant, and they stop throwing something else, and people are reading in. They're like, hey, by the way, why is Cole Henry, you know, throwing more less curveballs now, and all of a sudden he's throwing a splitter, you know, whatever it is. Like, you got to be a little bit careful about that. But yeah, Cole Henry is number two. I mean, unfortunately, you've listed literally all the pitchers that you want to see. I mean, there's like a couple strugglers that I think you want to see, just, you know, for driving by a car wreck type of thing, or to see what it's about. But like Henry, Knack, Contreras, Bobby Miller, if you check those boxes off, you did well. And those are all, you know, to the credit of you picking these guys, I think they're all guys that are in for a little bit of boost, because the funny thing is not one single one of them is a sexy name. There's no, you know, Grayson Rodriguez in that list. You know, there's no Gore in that list. They're not sexy names. They're all going to boost up though.
And the fact that we just listed the four guys you want to see there, I mean, there's how many pitchers, what, like 100 pitchers?
I know, so there's like, so
we've,
many
we've
of
listed
them.
The four pitchers you want to see. So if you're out there for First Pitch Arizona, and you happen to be at a game, and one of these four guys is starting for one of the two teams, you should consider yourself extremely fortunate.
Yeah, I'm going to be both games on Wednesday here, and I think they always do the schedule weird. I'm really hoping you've got Salt River Peoria, which that has the potential to be Contreras, and I'm not sure. I think Contreras could be pitching on Wednesday. All most likely, James, at least for everybody listening that cares, Contreras should be pitching the first 2 days, and I'll probably get video and be able to see him. But yeah, make sure that you're watching, targeting Contreras, Knack, Miller, you know, at least get half of those guys when you're here.
All right. We got to head to a quick break to hear a message from our sponsors. But when we come back, we're going to touch on some breakout hitter candidates. That'll be next with the Welsh.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor of RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more are at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. All right, we are back. And, you know, we talked about some guys who might break out or might kind of see their stock rise a little bit with a strong performance. But I want to talk about some guys that, like, there might be people going to the First Pitch Conference who have never heard of some of these guys. And I think that they are, in some cases, primed for maybe a strong showing, or at least they could have a strong showing and really kind of put themselves on the map. So is there anyone in here that you want to hit on first, or should I pick someone?
Well, I mean, I think the guy you have as number one is clear ahead of these guys as my number one, Ryan Creedler, with the Tigers. He is super fascinating to me. He was kind of a later this season jump in guy who had a nice power speed combo, was hitting the ball really well. And I agree of the, cause you got a couple, like older-ish prospects in here. You've also got a couple guys that have been around forever. So, like, Ryan Creedler is probably number one. The other guy that jumps out, and get your thoughts on it, is Iggy Rosario, who I got, like, I'm amazed this kid's 22 years old because I haven't seen him for like 4 years. He's been with the Padres. He's been here forever. And he's actually coming off of a really solid season. 12 homers, 30 stolen bases, hitting .281. And he did it at AA. And he's only 22 years old. But the problem is he's been in their system since 2016. So it feels weird. He's a shorter guy. He's thick. They list him at 150. But I don't know, man. He might be like a .180. He's a thick dude. Always made good contact. But he started developing into power. First year, he hit double-digit homers. He stole second highest career stolen bases this year. This is one of those guys. He'll be playing in his home park at Peoria. Iggy and Creedler, I think, are the most interesting of the maybe you've never heard of names.
Yeah, so I mean, Creedler, like I haven't really been a fan of a lot of the middle infield prospects that have come up in Detroit, and I think it's just kind of wide open for him. Like, you know, he has very impressive power. That's kind of the first thing that jumps out to me when I watch him. Like, it's a tool that is really kind of blossoming. And, you know, he's another one of these guys who played better. Like, this has been a big theme for me this year. A lot of guys have better numbers at AAA than they did at AA this year. And he falls into that bin. So, yeah, I mean, I think if he has a strong showing, you could be talking about him as someone who spends most of next year in the big leagues. Rosario, he's just been a tough guy for me to kind of figure out what to do with. Because
You look at him, you're like, what do you do with him? He's like 5'9". Where does he play? How consistent is he? I totally agree. It just clicked a lot this year.
Yeah, like he has tools, but he just gives off that utility player vibe.
Oh.
So it's tough.
You know what, though? This list is a lot of utility player guys. Like Carlos Cortez is another one of those with the Mets. He's just one of those smaller guys that, like, here's the, you want to know,
I mean, you want to talk about thick.
Yeah, you want to talk about, but you want to know what the recipe for, you know, people that love baseball, that have a couple drinks in them, are seeing the top prospects in the game to like lose their mind about, is get a sub 5'10" guy, hit a moonshot, and you're done. And everybody, like, he's one of those guys. If you see like Cortez or Iggy hit a homer, people are going to freak out and be like, what is this? This is going like, but there's so many of these like utility players. The other guy, I'm going to pre-write an article for everybody. Okay. Get ready, because you are going to get at least 2 to 3 articles from Buddy Kennedy on his relationship with Mike Trout. There's going to be like an Athletic article. There's going to be a feature about how he trains with Mike Trout. That'll just be this big storyline. And he's just okay. You know, he's okay. He's not Mike Trout. Everybody wants him to be, because they're Jersey kids and they train together. And he's just kind of like a thick dude, kind of like Trout, but he's just smaller. He makes okay contact. He doesn't do anything exceptional. There's not a lot of exception out of this. There's like everybody on this list you have, from Buddy Kennedy to Nelson Velasquez, there's a tool, but there's not a set of tools. And if they shined their tool in the fall league, people are going to kind of get fooled a little bit, not realizing like, oh, this isn't a complete player. This is just a fun thing that's happening.
Yeah. So I want to quickly hit on all these guys. Like Brendan Donovan, to me, like I think I'm higher on him than you are. I mean, the only tough thing is there's really nowhere for him to play. But I mean, he's an infielder. He's a classic kind of Cardinals infielder who's a little bit older, has a really strong hit tool, really worked the zone, didn't hit for a ton of power, but he did hit 10 home runs, actually 12 home runs, stole some bases. So I mean, like, you know, he's just one of these guys who's kind of ready to go if they do have an opening somewhere.
Oh yeah. Well, the tough thing about him, the Cardinals always send out players that find, I mean, they've always had guys that get to the majors. Like they had Lane Thomas, they had Andy Young before he got traded. The problem Brendan has is he's taxi squad out here. So he's going to be like, you know, a taxi squad, you're limited to 2 days. You can't play more than 2 days a week. And I think you can only play 8 total games. So he's just not going to have enough time to really shine.
That's a really good thing to point out.
And there's a couple of those guys out here you got to watch for when you look at the rosters. When they're taxi squad, those guys are just going to be limited. And people don't realize that, they might look and like, oh my God, Hunter Bishop's out here, this is cool. And then you realize, well, Hunter Bishop is on the taxi squad. He'll probably play like 6 games. Like Jordan Alvarez did that in 2017, I think. He was out here. It was hilarious. It was him and Franmil Reyes on the same team. And Jordan was the taxi squad guy. And it's just, he never got to shine. And people loved Franmil more because you barely saw Jordan.
And then Velasquez, who you mentioned with the Cubs, if you could combine his power with Leo Jimenez's hit tool, you'd have a monster. But Velasquez, you know, Velasquez is one of those guys who, if he hits a moonshot and people get it on video, people are going to go crazy because the power is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'm not writing off the chance that he makes enough contact to be a regular either at DH or in corner, but you know that there are significant hit tool concerns with him. The nice thing is the decks are fairly clear for him in Chicago. Jimenez, like I mentioned, he's a shortstop with the Blue Jays who has everything except the power, and the power probably isn't coming, but you know, we'll see how that looks. And then James Outman with the Dodgers. The Dodgers have this thing where they have, you know, at every single level of the system, they've got a handful of guys who are like 2 years too old to be at that level and just really just do a ton of damage. Outman actually has interesting tools. Like he has speed, he's got power, he's a good defender, but he hasn't really been at an age appropriate level yet. And then Owen White is my sort of breakout candidate on the pitching side.
He pitched yesterday. I just missed him, by the way. He was in instructs, and Brock Burke, if people remember Brock Burke, he was pitching, but Burke ended up going six. He was only supposed to go five, and then Owen White came in replacement. So I didn't get to finish seeing the outing, but he did just pitch an instruct, so his next start probably lines up to maybe this weekend. You know, what was it, Tuesday? So, yeah, maybe Saturday or Monday he would pitch. So people might miss him. But, yeah, just throwing that out.
Yeah, I mean, the Rangers have – they've got some pitching on the way. White is in that crop of guys. I believe he was a prep guy in the same class as Cole Wynn, where Wynn got the bigger bonus. But White was also seen to have a bright future. So
that sounds right.
I'll be interested to see how he looks. There are four guys that I wanted to hit on. You know, we haven't mentioned CJ Abrams yet. We haven't mentioned Pedro Leon yet. The reason for that is I'm not sure what to expect from them from a performance standpoint, because Leon did make it back from his injury, but he had just terrible numbers in like 10 games after returning. So probably wasn't quite at 100% there. So not sure, you know, if he's going to be ready to really make a big splash or not, but certainly has the tools to do so. I mean, he's got the experience and the age on his side. And then Abrams, obviously we haven't seen him in a long time. So I'm just not sure, you know, if this is going to be a situation where he's knocking off a lot of rust. Do you have a theory as to how those two will perform out here?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to say it earlier, but like Abrams is another one of those, like I would put into the top class of what we talked about, the guys that could be the best hitters here, simply because I didn't think he was going to get a ton of run here. I thought, because he's been coming back from injury, he's been at the complex, I thought he might do what Kyle Lewis did in like 18, I think it was, or 17, whichever one it was, where he had been coming back from injury. He just was around for 3 weeks. Then he played, and then he kind of got hurt, and they really tapered it down. But I saw Abrams over at the facility a couple weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, and he was back in the backfield. I got yelled at by a coach because I was like filming, and he's just like, "Hey man," he's like, "can't be filming the practice." I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, "Abrams." And he was back there just doing some drills, and I caught him a little bit after, and I said, "Are you full go in the fall league?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm ready to go." I'm like, "Oh, okay, wow." And then literally like the next day he played an instructs out here, and he was right back at it. He was playing. He wasn't just DHing. Like I saw Valeri yesterday, he was DHing. Abrams was out in the field, made a defensive play, started making some contact. Abrams looked so good when I saw him in spring training before he got hurt, that to know that he's been here, he's been training, he says he's going to play, and he got in instructs games, I kind of feel pretty confident he's going to be out there pretty consistent, because he needs the reps. And if that's the case, he's going to be one of the best players here. Without question, he belongs in here. Leon, I also think, is put in a really good spot, because, you know, you get these guys that are put out here and it can be overwhelming, but he gets to, like, this might be like a little thing, but Cespedes, Yoelki Cespedes, a couple Cuban players, you know, they get to bond, they get to be here together. That might be a good thing, just to kind of play it easy a little bit. Camelback Ranch, you know, it's a fine park to play in. I'm not 100% sure. I got to tell you, Leon is top three of top players that I need to see and want to see, because I've never seen him in person. And, you know, you are higher on him than I am. And there's just so much I want to see from at bats from him. He is literally top of the list of players I need to see. But if I had to pick one, I would say Abrams. And then I would throw Abrams back into our absolute top list, because it really does look like he is going to play a majority of this league.
Yeah, no, I think he plays the games. I just think he is a ways away from having the type of game power to really stack numbers with those top guys.
He did get big. I'll tell you that. He looks thicker. He looks thicker than I've ever seen him before. But you're not wrong. It's just he makes great big contact, and, you know, balls can fly out here. Balls can fly out here in the winter.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're totally right. And, I mean, Leon's one of those guys where I am very high on him. My expectations for his AFL stint are very tempered.
I should be. I agree with you. You should, like, be, because he could, you know, go either way.
I could see him, you know, everyone at the end of the AFL is up where I have him if he just really shows out and he starts looking like a guy that might be ready early next year. I could also see it going the other way with him, where he's just still got some rust to knock off. Maybe the strikeouts are an issue, something like that, and people start getting off of him. But hoping for the best, obviously, with both those guys. Two pitchers who, Slade Ciccone is a guy that I've been very high on for a long time. I was fearing the absolute worst with him when he got shut down with either forearm or elbow injury. So just really a great sign that he's even on the roster. Yeah. I was worried that could be headed for TJ. So very happy that he'll be pitching. And then Abner Uribe, a relief pitching prospect all the way in the Brewer system, but no one's going to throw harder than him out there if he is indeed healthy. He's another guy that got shut down like 2 months ago. And given the fact that he like sits 103, you could only assume that it was going to be something Tommy John, along those lines. So just really encouraging that both those guys are healthy enough to even pitch in the league.
I remember this vivid memory of 2016. I remember I tweeted at Jason Collette and Yancey because of the Tampa Bay thing. But Diego Castillo was out here and he was pitching for the Rays team. And I wasn't familiar with him. I didn't know him. And this kid comes in and he starts throwing 102. And I was like, what is happening here? Who is this guy, Diego Castillo? It's probably one of my like first tweets, I feel like, back in the day with video of this guy. And there's always a couple of those guys. And, you know, early stint dominance is not far behind. You know, advanced hitters, you know, we saw Nate Pearson come in, throw 103 to Pete Alonso, and Pete Alonso take it out of Surprise Stadium during the Fall Star League. So it doesn't mean success. But I agree, you know, you get 103 pinpoint with guys trying to just absolutely murder balls, you might see some really fun success. And you get guys like, you know, Duvall with the Giants, who's really succeeding right now, fireballer. I think you get a lot of comps in that. And I'm with you on Slade. Like, I think they might temper how he's treated here, but I am absolutely ecstatic to start watching him pitch because he could be, as much as other guys have passed him, I think Bryce Jarvis is being underrated, but Dre Jameson had a fantastic year. Diamondbacks pitching had a fantastic year, Brandon Fatt, Ryan Nelson, but he could be the best of all of them, and health has just taken him back, and I'm excited to see him.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like Ciccone's gonna move up on my rankings just by the fact that he's even pitching. Like I was, you know, if you'd said, do you think he is gonna need some sort of surgery based on everything that was kind of coming out, I would have said yes. So yeah. Just happy that he's healthy enough to pitch. All right, I'm going to list off a lot of guys here who I have low expectations for various reasons. These are all guys that, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know who they are, at least most of them. And then I want you to tell me which guys you think could have success and maybe surprise me, or which guys you're also very worried about. So Marco Luciano, Joe Gray, Hunter Bishop, J.J. Bleday, Heriberto Hernandez, Mackenzie Gore, Asa Lacy, Jeter Downs, Ezekiel Tovar, Will Wilson, Patrick Bailey, Carmen Mudzinski, Jackson Rutledge, Yolky Cespedes, Jeremiah Jackson, Jacob Amaya, Marco Feliciano.
So do you want me to tell you all the guys that I'm also worried about, or just the ones that I'm not?
How about you just
about?
Maybe just tell me the guys that you're, for whatever reason, maybe you think I might have some expectations. Too pessimistic on, and I can, I'm happy to expand on why I think these guys are all going to struggle.
I mean, listen, there's a couple that I'm like, I would just throw in to not answer your question right off the top is like, I think Mackenzie Gore is going to be, this might be the nail in the coffin for him when he gets out here. I've said it multiple times. I think he's just a relief pitcher now, you know, because he can dial it up to 96, but it straightens out, and 17-year-olds out here were crushing balls on him. He's not going to do it with 91 because he's lost spin. It doesn't spin enough, and he doesn't have enough of his secondaries. He doesn't trust them anymore with his command. He's not going to do well out here. He might have a game or two. He had like his, you know, 8-9 strikeout, whatever. Like, nah, dude, when Spencer Torkelson gets a hold of him and a couple of these guys, like, I don't think so. I'm not optimistic about him. And you know what? Even if he dominates, I don't care. I'm not going to change off my stance on Gore.
I feel like you should be like freelancing for like the San Diego Union Tribune or something, because you've been on the Mackenzie Gore beat, it seems, for like 2 months. And I mean, you've been given really good updates on him. I think really good context into like why people should not be, because he'll go out there and have like a nice line in the ACL. And it's like, dude, like if he went out there and had a bad line, that would be news. But like, even if he were just shoving against these 17 and 18 year olds, like, who cares?
And the shoving wasn't good. Like, I told people, and I appreciate you saying that, because the context is super important, because it's misleading. Like, he hit a dude in the head with a ball. He had one inning where he completely fell apart. He was given up. It had to be three straight 100-mile exit velocity singles, and this is to like the low, you know, this is to the rookie ball Brewers team that he did. He would sit 91 with a little bit of command, and then he'd try to dial it up, and it would straight. You know, it's just the context is important. So I'm not optimistic about him, and even if he is, I mean, unless he doesn't give up a single hit, strikes out everybody, and doesn't walk anybody, I'm just not going to feel different. I just think people are going to be disappointed, and more people will join me on that train. But you know, anything can happen. Of the guys, you know, I'm not the biggest Ezekiel Tovar guy. I don't like espouse, you know, his amazing prospect prowess and everything like that, like everybody else does. But I do think he has the chance to succeed here. The Salt River team, again, it's that stadium. The Salt River team has had a pretty good job about the middle infielders they put out there that find good success. And they always pick young guys. Geraldo Perdomo did that. Lots of singles. I think Tovar's going to be out there a whole lot. I don't think they have a lot of other options that they're going to throw at shortstop. So I think he's going to get a lot of at-bats. And I don't think he's going to get high in the order. So he might not get a whole big bunching of the top prospects. I mean, he might. But I think, you know, I don't think he's going to have a bunch of homers. If people are expecting he's going to be, you know, oh, these homers are stolen bases. I think he'll steal some bases. I think he's going to just make some good contact. So I have, like, fine expectations on him. I think Cespedes is another one of those guys that, I don't know. I he could go either way. Like, I just think that huge power might absolutely murderball some stuff. But I don't know if he's going to completely struggle like we saw, like we heard in extended spring training. But I got to tell you, this list, I don't know if I have massive expectations for really any of these guys. Lacy really struggled. Herberto Hernandez, I'm sick of. I don't care about his 110 exit velocity when, you know, he's like almost 22 years old and he can't hit high A ball. So I think all of these guys are right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like with Cespedes, I just kind of feel like there's going to be some, just a lot of non-competitive at bats where he's just really up there kind of guessing and trying to ambush a fastball. I mean, with a lot of these hitters, like if you're pitching to most of these guys, just throw them breaking balls and you'll be fine.
And see, that's going to be the real key, is that's why I think like a guy like Cespedes could be all right if that doesn't happen. Yeah, Jeter Downs, you know what? Let me turn this down. I think Jeter Downs, his expectation window is so low that I actually think he is going to be someone that's going to turn it around. He was so bad to end the year. He's comfortable with Arizona, knows the parks, a lot of people out here, good defender, huge power. I think he eases stuff up. I think there's a lot of good prospects out there. Hopefully he picks some stuff up. And I actually think he is a guy that his expectations are so low that I think it turns around on him.
How about Downs versus Blade in terms of a guys who like came into the year as top 30-ish prospects and just had terrible years, are old enough, they should be here. There's no, you know, there's no biographical reason why they shouldn't have success. It's just that they were so bad this year. Which of Downs or Blade stock do you think will be higher after the
year? Boy, that's really, really tough. I'm going to say Downs because I'm worried the swing and miss is too far gone with Blade. He's got light tower power, but also like he doesn't have the positional fun that Jeter does. Jeter can make some highlight reel stuff. He can play second. He can play short. He's got a good arm. He's made really good contact before, and he's a power speed combo. So I think Downs is the guy that has the best opportunity. If Blade hits, if he doesn't hit like 300, I think you're going to move off of him. He's too old at the levels to be struggling like he is.
Yeah. And just, very quickly, you know, Marco Luciano, Joe Gray, the first two guys I mentioned, I think those guys have probably the highest ceilings on of these guys I mentioned. It's just, you know, they went from low A to high A. They hit a wall at high A, expecting them to just really rebound in the AFL. I know the pitching's bad. I mean, they both have just incredible raw power. So, I mean, they could definitely hit some impressive shots out here. I think the batting average and strikeouts are going to be an issue for both those guys. But again, with all these guys, like, I'm basically saying if they have really strong showings, that's good. That's good for their prospect stock. That means that, you know, they're trending in the right direction because...
But don't freak out.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. Don't... Like, if Marco Luciano just is terrible in the AFL, you know, it's a data point, but it's not, you know, it's not more important than what he did at high A necessarily.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... A lot of these guys, like, I expect them to be bad, so it's not going to just diminish their prospect stock if they're bad, but they have a chance to, you know, like, if JJ Bleday goes out there and is like one of the three best hitters in the league, I think that's meaningful. Same thing with Downs.
I agree with that. Yeah. I don't think Gray is going to have that because I think it's you guys like you and I that have expectations. I don't think many people just pay enough attention, but like Luciano does. And I think he'll be mediocre. You know what the best matchup of this whole AFL is going to be is Mackenzie Gore versus Luciano, because Luciano cannot hit lefties and Gore just can't get anybody out anymore. That is going to be just like my absolute number one must-see favorite at bat of anything that goes on. But I think actually Luciano might even surprise you a little bit, because I'll bet you, like, what like you think his stat line was going to be about, like, 230, two homers?
I'll say 230, four homers, and some really impressive homers, and like a... I don't know, four times as many strikeouts as walks.
Yeah, I mean, that is possible. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, I think you put a good list together. I think there's a few guys that can beat some expectations, but the point is temper your expectations, really, with everybody. But these are guys that are probably going to sit in that list where after, you know, Luciano, like you and I both, I didn't give as big of a slap as you did to Luciano. We already both gave the little pre-slap that if he does struggle and people are like, oh, look, you know, here's 33% strikeouts or 35% strikeouts and he hit, you know, 230, you might see him fall out of top 20s, and he might be a buy low guy, but I've got some more. We both have our worries.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. Like, I know I got to let you go here in a second. I keep getting higher and higher on like Nick York in my head. And I was kind of comparing, you know, what Nick York and Luciano both did at high A this year at the same age. I think that's an interesting one.
It's fun to think about. I think Luciano is going to prime back, but you know, AFL is going to be important. Like, I'm really care about his at bats versus lefties is something I want to watch. And I have a lot of context with him and seeing him over the last couple of years. So I will report back, but York versus Luciano, that might be a debate we got to come back to.
All right, Chris, I really appreciate it. Before I let you go, why don't you tell people where they can find your work?
Yeah, people can check me out on Twitter at @isitthewelsh. I will tweet out AFL stuff, you know, whatever it is, games, stuff like that I can. My show, Prospect One, one of my mini shows, but Prospect One is what people will care about. Check that out. I will probably this week. I don't think you're going to get player interviews this year because it's pretty wonky and they're doing Zoom ones. And I just don't know how interested I am in that because it's about connecty type of things. But this week with the First Pitch Conference, I'll probably have a barrage of interviews from analysts out here and takes on different prospects. But check it out, Prospect One. And then of course I've got all of my other stuff, whether it is, you know, prospect ranks, dynasty ranks, my values and stuff on my Patreon. You can go to inthisleague.com and it'll take you to patreon.com/ITL Army. Sign up, support me. I'm an independent venture dude, and I'll just be fall league, and I'm even wearing my fall league hoodie right now as we're rocking. So just be prepared. And if you're out in the fall league, come up and say what's up to me. Say hi.
Yeah, definitely do the Patreon. Prospect One's by far my favorite baseball podcast out there. It's like the only one listen to regularly. So you do awesome work. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm James Anderson. We're brought to you by WinBet. We previewed the AFL this week. Next week, I'm having another Chris on, Chris Blessing from Baseball HQ, to give me some reactions to what he saw when he was out there at the First Pitch Conference. We'll talk to you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.